Thank you. Father, we just thank and praise you that we have this great privilege that we can come from thy footstool into thy very throne room and into thy very presence because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
We thank you this morning, Lord, that your ear is ever open to our cry.
Amen.
We thank you that your arm is not shortened, but you can save and deliver. And you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, we come into your courts with thanksgiving.
Hallelujah.
We come into your courts with praise, and we will say, this is the day
Amen.
That the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you this morning for thy great mercy, for thy grace
Amen.
Toward each and every one of us in this house this morning. We give you all the praise and all the glory that
Hallelujah.
You've delivered us, that you've saved us, that you've set us free.
Hallelujah.
No longer to be entangled again by the yoke of bondage.
Amen.
We thank you for the power of your blood that it washes us,
yes.
cleanses us from all sin
yes.
and from all unrighteousness.
Hallelujah.
Now, Lord, we plead the merits of that precious
thank
blood
Jesus.
And the life of that blood, the token over this household this morning, over all that's near and dear to us, we plead the token this morning in Jesus Christ's name. We ask for the moving your spirit in our midst.
Amen.
We pray, Lord, you'll help us to loosen our tongues
Amen.
And to praise you, Lord,
you,
and to magnify your wonderful
Hallelujah.
Name. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, we're not in fear of bondage this morning.
Amen.
You haven't given us
Amen.
The spirit of fear, but of love and of truth,
Lord.
And that
Lord.
Of a sound mind.
Lord.
We thank you for your blessings, Lord, for they're new every morning
Yeah.
and great as thy faithfulness on each one of us.
Jesus.
Father, pray and meet every need in this house. Touch every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Save the lost, heal the sick, restore the backslid. We pray for Brother Mark as he steps up behind this pulpit. Lord, that you'll give him wisdom and an unction from heaven.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, above all, we're asking today that your name will be uplifted,
yes.
that your name will be magnified, that you'll be pleased to come down amongst us with your presence and your power and your blessing. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Now come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Bless the song leader. Bless all of us as we worship you and the musicians. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus. Well, Lord bless you this morning. I'd like to commend you all when you're singing.
Amen.
I was speaking to a couple of people yesterday, and you know, when even times passed there during lockdown, when people would say they were listening in, and have really commented on the singing.
Amen.
I really enjoyed the singing, so the Lord bless you. I should praise the Lord. You know, it's just a wee small congregation here. You know, people say that goes to fellowships with much bigger congregations in here. So it's good to make a joyful noise.
Amen. Amen.
God,
Amen.
A joyful noise can bless somebody else. You just don't know who you're all listening to.
Amen.
So the Lord bless you. Keep up the good work.
Amen.
Can we sing? I will sing of my Redeemer on the wondrous love tonight.
I will sing of my Redeemer, and His love with love to me. On the cross He suffered, on the curse He set me free.
under the blood, Lord. We thank you this morning. We can stay under the blood, Lord. Yes. Lord, I don't need a man to back it, but Lord, you'll back it. Because you're God and you're the King of Kings. Lord, forgive me if I wouldn't raise my hands, Lord, to your holy name. Forgive me, Lord, if I was ashamed to lift my hands to worship what you've done, Lord. You said you're coming back, won't we be a people that would lift our hands and to praise the King of Kings, for the King of Glory has come in. You confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Lord, we give you thanks this morning. We can stay under the blood of Jesus. We thank you this morning that Satan has no power, not a bit, over us this morning. Not because of who we are, a stinking flesh that we're in this morning, but because thou hast made a way for us, Lord. Thou hast conquered judgment, Lord, and our condemnation, Lord, and placed it on yourself on the cross. And you say, Jesus, we lift your name this morning. I'm not a worried, Lord, what men think. Rather be a fool for Christ as a fool for some of the turkeys that surround me sometimes. But Lord, I thank you, Lord, you're the King of Kings. And you're the God that giveth breath. And you're the life that's in us this morning. We ought to praise thee this morning. Lift up our hands and have joy. Because joy comes in, Lord, when we'll ask for it. Lord, you don't give a stone, Lord. You said in John 14:14, ask anything in my name and I will do it. Lord, you're an I will do God this morning. You're a God that will do, Lord. Men are hopeless. They'll do nothing but try and pull us down. But God, you're in the business of lifting us up. I say reject the words of men, but listen to the word that came. And a man that was sent by God in flesh to destroy the works of the devil. The only name, the name of Jesus Christ, is the only name to be worshipped and lifted up. Lord, we're thankful this morning we're not here to talk about a man. And we're not here to lift a man and other men like us. But we're here to lift the only one that's worth lifting. And in him is the words of life. Jesus Christ. Amen. And the world knew him not and still knows him not. Because their deeds are evil. Lord, we thank you this morning. Lord, we're not ashamed of you. You're the one that puts shoes on our feet. You're the one that puts the bread on our table, Lord. Lord, you're the one that fills our heart with hope. And not our ears with dung. Lord, we're thankful for that this morning. I'd rather have you for a friend, Lord. Because there's no one that can walk with you to stand in you, only Jesus. Listen not to man's foolish ways. But hear the Lord. For his word is truth. Listen not to your own imagination. Because God's ways are higher than your imagination. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. God, we thank you this morning. There's someone in this place this morning, and you're leaning on your own understanding. I say to you this morning by the word of the Lord, lean not on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord, the one that had redeemed thee. And when he came from that tomb, he left a sign he was coming back. Lord, we're thankful this morning you're coming back, Lord. And say unto that brother this morning, lean not onto thy own understanding. Worry not what man or the devil would try to do. Because Jesus Christ has conquered the devil at Calvary. When he said it was finished, and he took care of your darkness and my darkness and my sin on Calvary. Be not ashamed what men would say about thee. But lift up the name of Jesus. Rather be a fool for the living Christ than a fool for a dead devil. His ways are known. And I have told thee his ways. He will die the death of a man at the last. But I will never die. Because I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is your King this morning. And in him and only in him have you life. If you're not ashamed of them this morning, praise Him. If you are ashamed, then just stay quiet. But God is to be praised. My servant Moses said, who's in my sight, stand here. And who's on the Lord's sight, stand here. And who's not, stand over there. But the Lord has paid a price for you this morning. And that's why we're here this morning. Not because of what we think man will say. Be not afraid of what man will say. That brings forth a snare. But only listen to the King of Kings. Oh Lord Jesus, accept our praises this morning. You're the one that brings forth the honey, Lord. And we take of it, Lord, we're enlightened this morning. Lord, we're thanking you this morning for thy Holy Ghost fire. And as our brothers are ready, asked you to come in, and you said you would. We're two or three are gathered in your name, you're in the midst of them. We thank you, Lord, we can come in this fashion, Lord, to lift your holy name. Amen.
Same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? We'll just bow for a word of prayer again this morning. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, just thank you once again, Lord, that you're in our midst. And we know that you're here this morning, because your word says that where two or three are gathered in your name, that there you are in the midst. And where you are, you bring the blessing, Lord Jesus Christ. I pray this morning that you just help me. Help me to bring something across to bless your people. Not only that, but to magnify your name and to give you all the glory, the honor and the praise. For you alone are worthy of it. We just invite you to come once again, Holy Spirit, and have thy way. For it's in and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, maybe before we go into this, I'll maybe just share that story again with you. You know, last year, we went on holidays. We went to Cornwall, and we stayed in a wee place called Pentavon Sands. It was a caravan park, and it was a lovely wee spot. And you'd only about maybe 200 metres to walk from our front door of our caravan to the beach and the sea. And the night before we were coming home, we decided we'd go down for a walk to the beach once more, and then we'd go and get something to eat. When we went down there, we just went down to the beach. We were only there maybe 2 minutes. When Alva says to me, them children's desperate far out and at sea. You know, when you have children of your own, and you see something like that, something within you, like a fear or like a panic, and you see, and you know, they were very far out. I'd say they were probably about 80 to 100 metres out. And what had happened, there's hills there, and in those hills there used to be where the main China clay. If you're driving up through there, when you see a quarry there, it's not like here, we have a lot of like blue stone here, but when you see there, it's white. And that's where you get the China clay, that's that style of clay. And then the river had come from them mountains, down them mountains, and just comes like, it's like a wee song, leaving the hill, the streamlet flows,
Amen.
Flooding the vale with the river.
Hallelujah.
You know, it goes from that down into the sea, and it cuts its way through the mountain, and that river comes down. And it comes into the beach, and it takes a, at that point it took a path through the beach, and there was like two banks of sand down in it. And you know, if you were there, it was such a lovely wee thing where the river just come through, and there was a lot of children playing around it. But what had happened, them two children had got on one of these inflatable things, and gently, gently they were just floating through it. And maybe, you know, it's easy to lose sight of a child when you're out and about or something's happening, but then that woman, them parents must have had lost sight of them children, because before they knew it, these children, maybe 6 or 7 years of age, the two of them, that current had just took them. The next thing, they were in the open sea, and then the tide just started to take them out and out. And you know, it's not, just thinking at that time, it's not like sin, where it doesn't matter, from a young age, sin can get a grip on some of the people. And gently, gently, before you know it, it just takes you further and further. Maybe it starts out with telling a wee lie, maybe then a big lie, and then maybe something else happens, and then you know what happens? It takes, before somebody knows, before you know where you are, maybe you're in the middle of sin, a sinful life that you had never planned on. But them children, before they knew it, were out on the sea, the open sea. And you know, in that area, not so long after that, there was somebody drowned in around that area. I remember reading it on the news. And the thing about that area, you know, there's a lot of big waves because they do a lot of surfing and all and that. And you might think, you know, that they're only a bit out the lifeguard to get them. But, you know, in that time, it was two children, and it must have been two mothers, I think, had been there with the children. And one mother, obviously, at some stage had missed them and had spotted it, and she was wearing like a wetsuit. And she had swam out. She had recognized the danger and she had swam out. And I, you know, when I think of it now, I was thinking, it's not like a preacher. Where somebody's on life's sea and they're getting took out, sin's carrying them farther and farther. But God, through the foolishness of preaching the gospel, that's what the Word of God says, through the foolishness of preaching the gospel, it pleased God that men and women might be saved. There's that mother, and she sees the danger, and what does she do? She goes after them. She swims after them. And you know, when she gets out that length, you know, it was good. I couldn't have swam that land. But she got out there and she caught hold of the ring. And them two children was on it. But you know, she had no strength of her own to bring them in. It's like God gives us the strength. The preacher has no strength of his own. There's nothing in his own power to bring you to the saving grace. It's God's word. It's all God. And there, at that stage, a few people had started to gather. And we had just arrived as she had got there. And she was holding on. And then, what did we see? We see this man coming on a canoe. Now, he didn't own the canoe, but you know the thing about him? He had been on the beach. And he must have been there earlier, just as fraction earlier us, and he'd seen the danger. And he went to these children, and he got the land off, it was like a canoe thing that you sat on. It was just like a big polystyrene board thing, nearly. And he was paddling out to them. And, you know, it's like our Heavenly Father, and he's watching over us.
Amen.
You know, he's seen the danger.
Right.
And that woman might have thought she was out there on her own trying to save the children. But here was some man. A man that had seen the danger. And where she knew it or not, he was going to help.
Amen.
You know, the preacher stands and he try to do his best. Our pastor here tried to do his best and preach the gospel, but
Amen.
The Lord, his eyes is on the sparrow.
Oh, yeah. Right.
He knows when a sparrow falls to the ground and he knows what's happening.
That's right.
And there this man sees the danger and he headed out. And he was there in no time, you know, he'd done real good work. And what happened? He got one of the children and he sat on the board. And that mother, she held on to the back of that. And he started to paddle them in. She had nothing to do, it was no longer under her strength. All she had to do was just grab
Amen.
On and hold. This morning, that's all we have to do is grab on and hold.
Right.
And what happened? He brought her to safety.
Amen.
He brought
Amen.
Them all to safety.
Amen.
You know, under the wings of that great eagle,
right.
he can be brought to safety
Hallelujah.
This morning.
Right.
And he brought her, and you know that our mother then, she was just in an ordinary, like a dress and t-shirt or whatever on the beach. But I can tell you when them children got off that beach, you know what she doing? She ran and she grabbed
Amen.
Them. She gave them a hug.
Amen.
And she will rejoice.
Glory!
You know, when we rejoice, it says the angels in heaven rejoice.
Amen, amen.
And the man or woman comes to know the Lord is their own personal
Praise
Savior. You know, and I thought, that really spoke to me. And I said, you know, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
If I've seen something, you know, an example of your grace and your mercy, here it is this evening.
That's right.
You know, every now and then I would think of that and thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
For saving Glory. Me, you're a loving Amen. Savior.
Hallelujah.
Here's this word again this morning. And it's these is the disciples and they're in this boat. And you know, it's not just them. When I read this many times. But you know what it says here? It says in verse 36, and they went, and when they had sent away the multitude, so Jesus had been preaching to this great multitude.
Amen.
And here they got him into the ship, and they took him even as he was in the ship. And what's it say? And there were other little ships
Amen.
As well.
That's right.
You know, sometimes maybe men and women think we're the only ones. It's all about us. It's just our group. But here there was other little
Amen.
Ships as well.
Glory! Hallelujah!
It wasn't just the disciples that wasn't encouraged in this sea or danger. It was these other men or whoever was in these boats. There was more than just the one ship.
Amen.
You know that Sea of Galilee, and some people call it the Sea of Tiberias or a few different names, but I believe it's about 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. 13 miles, that's some length from one end to the other. And even if you were only going the width of it, 8 miles. And here these men at least had 8 miles at least across, if they went that way across it. And they were coming, and the wind and the rain started to blow, and maybe the sea got rough. And where's Jesus? In verse 38, it says that he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. You know, it might seem sometimes that God doesn't hear you. Maybe you might think he's asleep, but you know where he is? He's right beside you.
Amen.
He's right beside
That's
these
right.
men
Amen.
In this boat. You know, he wasn't far away. They were back here on their own. He was right with them.
That's right.
He was right in their situation. Maybe you think you're going through a storm on your own, but you know something? Jesus is right there
Amen.
In the middle. He was
Amen.
In that storm too.
Right.
He wasn't on the shore at safety. He was right there in that storm.
Amen.
And he says, and what did they say? And they awake him and said unto him, here's what really I want to speak on this morning. It says, Master, carest not that we perish. They said to the Savior, do you not care that we're going to perish here? We're out in the sea, we're going to perish. But what does the Word of God say? The most famous verse in the whole of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten
Amen.
Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish,
Amen.
Which has everlasting life.
Amen.
God's word is you should not perish.
Amen.
These men might have thought they were going to perish, but when Jesus spoke in the midst of that storm, he said, what did he say? He said, peace be still.
Amen.
Be still. Be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
You know, isn't it something when the Master speaks? Isn't it something when the Lord, in the midst of a trouble, can give you a word and it brings comfort? And maybe if you're getting stressed, you're getting, maybe you're agitated, and say, maybe you get a word from the Lord and peace be still.
Amen.
You know, it's such a word from the Lord. And it says, and he arose and rebuked the winds and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why are you so fearful? But you know, in the natural, these men had a right to be afraid. You know, I'm sure if I was on that boat, I'd have been afraid. But I'd say you'd have been afraid too. Because I'm no great swimmer. I haven't swum in years. But you imagine this boat, if the water starts to come in, and you're starting to sink. Would you not be afraid too? But Jesus says, why are you so fearful? Because you know that they were looking at the circumstances. They were looking at the situation. And here was Jesus, and Jesus had done many miracles. Before this, he had preached to the multitude. He showed many miracles. And here was the Savior, the Son of God. Peter said, thou art the Son of God.
Amen.
He knew God had given him that revelation.
Amen.
He knew who he was.
Right.
And here they were, you know, they were fearful. And they had a right to be fearful. But you know, it says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?
Hallelujah.
You know, maybe that was an example. That is an example to us. Maybe in the midst of the storm, if we just take our time, maybe not just be so fearful, but trust and count
Amen.
On him.
Amen.
You know, there's another example in the Old Testament. In Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Amen.
If I can find it. And I'll maybe just read bits and pieces as we go along here, but we know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where Nebuchadnezzar had made this great image of gold. And you know, a prophet to our generation said that that image of gold was an image of Daniel the prophet. Because Daniel had told him what he had dreamed, and at that stage he had made Daniel one of the third or one of the rulers in Babylon. And he thought so much of him, they built this great image of gold, and they had compelled everybody to come and worship this image. But here's these three Hebrew children. And they said, we're not going to bow down and worship
Amen.
This.
Hallelujah.
You know, what was one of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have no other God
Amen.
Before thee.
Amen.
These
Jesus.
Men,
Amen.
This is one of the commandments. And they were like, we're not going to do, we're not going to bow down
Amen.
To this.
Amen.
And it says, hold on, Dave.
Verse
13. Then when Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou Daniel, which art of the children?
Chapter 3.
Am I in the wrong chapter, am I? I'm in the wrong chapter, sorry. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then he's brought these men before the king. So here is a man that God had really moved in Babylon. God had moved here. And Nebuchadnezzar had recognized that God had moved through Daniel. But then, you know, some people can recognize maybe God's moving somewhere. It's like when Jesus walked the earth. They liked the miracles, but when he started to preach, I'm the bread of life, they couldn't accept it. They didn't want that bit of it. They could accept the bit that they liked, but they couldn't accept this orbit. And here Nebuchadnezzar could accept that Daniel was a man of God. That God had worked through him. But then his own wee idea at this stage where he'd made this image, and these men that were of the same faith as Daniel said, no, we can't bow down and worship that. But he was going to put them, it says he was full of rage. is it true? It says fury, full of rage and fury, commanded them to bring them. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? You know, if there's one thing that really stood for these men, they didn't.
Amen.
They didn't worship his God or the image he set up. That's one thing for their testimony. Amen. They didn't, and they made a claim that they weren't going to.
Amen.
There's many images and things today.
That's right.
You know, our testimony is we reject it.
Amen.
We're not going to accept that. We're going to stay with the word of God.
Amen.
And he says in verse 15, now if ye be ready, that at what time of the year ye hear this cornet and flute and all this, we'll just go on down a bit to the end of the verse. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? So here's Nebuchadnezzar, and he's saying, what God can deliver you from me? That was some challenge. You know, if God wanted to, he could have struck him dead right there and then. He could have just wiped him off the face of the earth. But you know, God, like Gary preached last week, so some things happen down the line and you maybe don't understand why God doing that. But then maybe two or three generations later something happens.
Amen.
When Nebuchadnezzar had said this, you know, you'd wonder, why would God not wipe him off the face of the earth? But by the end of it, do you know what? After he went through everything and God had made him like an animal and he was in the field for 7 years, God restored him. And he says, I know that the God in heaven is the one true God.
Amen.
You know, that's the mercy of God.
Right.
That is God's mercy. And we maybe can't understand why that happened. But maybe that was just during that time that Daniel was established. You know, and Daniel wrote these words that God inspired him. But we can't understand everything. But God, in his mercy and his grace, spurred Nebuchadnezzar at the same time. He didn't just spur these three Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Whether Nebuchadnezzar knew it or not, God spurred his life there. Because he challenged God. And he says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Our God is able to deliver us. You know, that's the same thing as the disciples say, do you care not that we perish? And the word of God says, thou shall not perish.
Amen.
You know, this word of God here, it could have been, somebody, imagine if you were there, you could have said, thou shall not perish. And Jesus didn't let them perish, because it says, but that it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.
Amen.
And then you knew that in his rage, he said, throw him in. And he heated the furnace up, was it 7 times more than it ought to be heated? And the men that cast them in were consumed by the flames.
Right.
And now, it says in verse 22, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, before we read verse 24, you know, I remember listening to the sermon Brother Brown preaching. And I really liked the way he preached about this. I never heard nobody preaching it before. And he says, here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they've been about to be cast into this fiery furnace. And he says, can you picture in heaven there's God sitting on the throne? And maybe a big angel, maybe Gabriel the angel, that come to Mary, that come to Daniel, and had appeared to different ones. Maybe Gabriel come to him and says, Lord, do you see what's happening down in Babylon? Says, you just tell me and I'll go down and stop that. I'll wipe them out and I'll save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the Lord says to him, no. And then he says, maybe another great angel, Wormwood. That's the angel, he says, that has power over the water. Mm-hmm. Brought the floods and had power over water. And he says, maybe that great angel, Wormwood, says to him, you just give me the word and I'll go down there and I'll wipe them out. And the Lord says to him, no, I can't let you do that. And why can I not let you do that? Because I'm going myself. And Brother Bram says, amen. Maybe he looked out, amen. And he seen that big cloud, or he maybe seen a thunderhead coming. And he says he reached up and he grabs one of those bolts of lightning. And he says, before you knew it, he was in the midst of that fire. And what does Nebuchadnezzar say in verse 24? He says, the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they said, true, O king. And he answered, and he says, I see four men loose.
Amen.
Walking in the midst of the
Amen.
Fire. And they have no hurt.
That's right.
And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's who was in
Amen.
With these men.
That's right.
You know, he was the beginning of the creation of God.
Amen. That's right.
And here, He come and he took the heat out of the flame for them men.
Amen.
There was still, I'm sure there was still heat in the flames, because I'm sure if Nebuchadnezzar went too close, it would have consumed them. But it took the heat. And there's them men cast in there, and Jesus is in there walking about.
Amen.
And you know what? Amen. They walked about, I'm sure they praised the Lord when they were in there with them.
Amen.
And the Lord delivered them.
Amen.
Thou should not perish, but
Amen.
Have everlasting life. They men, they didn't say, do you care if we perish? They said, why he will or why he won't.
Amen.
We not bow down.
Amen.
But you know the thing, he delivered them. He
Go
delivered
ahead.
Them anyway.
Amen.
When you think of Noah, we don't have to turn to it, but when you think of Noah and his household, they were on that, they were living there in such a time, such an evil time. You know, I'm sure we're getting close to it. Maybe it's not just as bad now as what it was then. But you know, I'm sure it's getting very close. And the sin upon the earth, you know, it says that when God looked at it, it repented him that he'd even made man. That's how bad it was. And you know, with our laws that we see today, where abortion's legal, where men marry men, women marry women, all these things are normal. And if you say anything against it, you're the one that's got the problem. You're the one that could face prison. But you know, God, in his mercy, you know, it's like a man says, he's only biding his time. And we know that from the things around us, we can see Israel in our homeland. We can see things that's happening. God has, Jesus in his word has told us about some of these things.
When
he says, when you see the fig leaf, when you see the fig tree blossom, you'll know that the time's near.
Amen.
And you know, Bible scholars would tell you that's Israel.
Amen.
And when you think what Israel went through to even get into that homeland again, 200 years ago you'd have said it could never happen. But then, as I said before, two world wars happened. You know, and look now, Israel's such a strong nation. You know, the army that they've got. All, you know, how God has blessed them, how our land has went from desert to one of the lands that produces, I'd say, most of the fruit and vegetables in that area. It's all in Israel. You know, God has really blessed them. But here's Noah in this evil age. What does God do? He says, build a house, or build an ark to the saving of thy family. And he didn't say, you've only got a year to do it. The Bible doesn't tell you, as far as I'm aware, how long he took to build it. But he preached, what was it, 120 years upon the earth, Noah preached. Why it took him that full length of time, why it didn't. But God, you know what? God waited until he was ready. Until Noah had finished the ark.
Amen.
And then he said, you bring your family in. And you know, it wasn't just for his family. Noah preached. Why did he preach? He preached that men and women might be saved.
But you know what? They rejected it.
Right.
It probably only seemed like foolish, idle words to them. Maybe Noah was the big joke. He was the big joke. There's all that Isle of Bay and he's all them family, his children. They not let them do nothing. And there they're building that boat. And you know how far we are from the ocean? How's that man ever going to get that? And he says it's going to rain. And then maybe somebody says, what is rain? And they go, I don't know, never heard tell of rain. But you know what happened? When the time come, and God told them to go into the ark, the Lord shut the door.
Amen.
God shut that door.
Amen.
And we've heard it preached through that rain started to fall. I'm sure there was men and women that had been heard Noah and thought, I don't know about that. But you know, when that rain, them fountains of the deep opened.
That's right. Amen.
You know, it wasn't just a gentle rain that started, and then, you know, what's that, and it just kept raining. The fountains of the deep broke open.
Amen.
I'd say the water was coming up by the ground like rivers.
Right.
You know, the mountains, the rain started to fall. I'm sure there was thunders, there might have been lightning. I'm sure they were terrified. But I know one thing. I'd say if there was a man or woman within a couple of miles radius of that ark, they were running for it. I'm sure they ran for that ark, that they might be saved. But you know what? It was too late.
That's right.
Too late was the cry. Was it not something awful? But you know, the ones that had listened, the ones that had respected the word of God, they were safe in that ark. God didn't let any of them perish. You know, from God, from Noah, we had Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And you know, that's how every man and every woman upon this earth come. You know, we see different movements in our world today, different lives matter, so forth, and by different races. But God, every man and every woman upon this earth come from them three people, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. If we could go back far enough, if we had records, every man and every woman, we all come from that. That's where we come from. And you know one thing? God's mercy is rich to each and every
Amen.
One of us. Doesn't matter in your color of your skin.
That's right.
Doesn't matter what language you speak.
Amen.
Because the grace of God is to every man.
Amen.
For the whosoever
Amen.
Shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Glory.
It's not if the white man calls Jesus. Upon the name of the Lord he shall be saved. No.
That's right.
Because if the white man rejects the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for him, he'll go to hell.
That's right.
You know, that's where he'll end up. If the black man rejects him, he'll go to hell. But it's for the whosoever shall
Amen.
Call upon the name
Amen.
Of the Lord
Amen.
Shall be saved.
That's right.
You know, what about Lot and Sodom? Lot. You know, some people, they might think a whole lot of Lot, but the God calls him righteous Lot in the
Amen.
Bible.
Amen.
You know, maybe he wasn't where Abraham was. Abraham was out in the plain. And you know, Abraham communed with God. When them three men come down, Abraham says one was the Lord. He was at Melchizedek, and the other two was the angels that were sent down to Sodom. And you know, Abraham, he pleaded with, he didn't plead, but he sort of bargained with God. He says, if there's 50, will you spare that city? And he said, I will. And then he said, if there was 40, would you spare it? And he come right down until there was 10. You know, Abraham was like an intercessor between God and the people. He says, if there's 10 people, I'll spare it. But the sad thing was, there wasn't 10 people in it. You know, when them two angels went down, you know where they went? They went to Lot's house. They didn't go down to the city and start preaching to the whole city. They went personally to Lot. God knows each and every one of us personally. And they went down to Lot, and they said they were there to bring him out. But what did he do? He said that they would tarry until the morning, and he brought him into the house. And then we know the story of the wickedness, how the men of the city come and they beat upon the door, and they wanted the two men that they would know them. And Lot, he come out then, and he says, don't do this evil thing. He closed, and he says he offered up his daughters. And they didn't want that. They wanted the men. And what happened? Them two angels reached forth, and they brought Lot in, and they closed the door, and they smote the men of that city with blindness until the morning. And what did they do? They brought Lot out. They had to bring him out the next morning. If you read the word of God, it says they took him and his wife and his daughters by the hand. Mm-hmm. They actually took him by the hand to bring them out.
Amen.
You know, and I think, it's not the mercy of the Lord.
Amen.
Where they took him by the hand.
Oh, yes.
You know, maybe some of us are so slow.
maybe some of us in the world tired and stuff, and we knew that we needed to be saved. You know, I knew from a young age I needed to be saved. And you know why I knew I needed to be saved? I'll tell you this morning why I knew. I knew because I had a godly uncle in Big John.
Amen.
You know, thank you, John. But, like, you mightn't think it's a whole lot.
Absolutely.
But we went to a Presbyterian church in Scarborough where a minister knew nothing of salvation. Never preached salvation. And you know who else? Aurora Billy. Another godly man. And here's the thing. When I was growing up, Aurora Billy was backslidden. But in a backslidden state, I knew from that man I needed to be saved. That I didn't even know from a minister that was supposed to be a minister of a church. Mm-hmm. You know, I thank God for a godly family.
Amen.
You know, I used to love being out at McGronny Grandis Farm. And then they talk, maybe Willie and John been there on a Saturday, and then maybe they talk to come up about the things of God. You know, and I used to love hearing it. And then that would have got you thinking, and then with different ones about there, you know, and then Tommy got saved and went on that missionary trip to Czechoslovakia and all them things. And then in around that time, it was 1991, I got saved. But you know, I thank John and I thank Roar Billy, he's not here this morning, but I thank them, man. You know, that at that young age, and you know, that's the first, I've never said this to anybody, but the first time ever I heard of Roar Branham, you know where it was? It was in the Milton Parlour. And it must have been a winter night where it was pitch black and the stars were out. And I remember Billy saying to John about Brother Branham, about the angels appearing in Arizona in the sky, and saying that that man was a prophet. That's the first time ever I heard that. And then when I heard that, you know what, I wanted to hear a bit more about it. I never heard nothing about that. I never heard how God had worked like that. I'd sat in a church for years. You know what, it was a history lesson. It was about stories in the Bible. It wasn't a reality. It wasn't our here. It wasn't now. It wasn't God in our day moving. It was all 2,000 years ago. Amen. And here, the next thing you're hearing about what God has done in our day. And you know, I thank the Lord that He moved upon them men. Just, you know, you don't know what you say.
That's right.
One word that you could say could be a real encouragement to somebody. It could make a difference. It could be the change in somebody's life. So be careful what you say. But you know, there was Lottie was brought out. God delivered him. And you know, it says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What about the man, if you go over to Matthew chapter 5, or not Matthew, Mark chapter 5, just we were in chapter 4, but he went into Mark chapter 5, you'd read about the madman of the Gadarenes that was possessed with a legion of devils. And people, in a study Bible I have at home, it says a legion, 7,000 soldiers. So you imagine 7,000, at least 7,000 demons in this man. And they couldn't do nothing with him. He broke the chains. They tried to bind him, he broke the chains. I'd say if he went near him, he could have rent you. He could have broke you. He'd have broke every bone in your body if he'd wanted to. That's how much a grip that the devil had over him. But after this, when these men was in this boat, and Jesus said, "Peace be still," he arrived, he was on the way, and I believe he's on the way for this man. And when he got there, they came over, it says in verse 1, and they came over onto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Immediately. As soon as Jesus got there, this man was waiting on him. Who had in his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no not with chains. Because he'd been often bound with fetters and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. And the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And all was night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. It's not something, a man that was possessed with devils. When he seen Jesus, he lived, you know, he wasn't in the city hearing about Jesus, about the miracles. He was at the other side of the lake. And he lived in the tombs. But when he seen Jesus, he ran and worshipped him. What did the Pharisees say about Jesus? It says when he went into the house, there were sinners there. You know what they said? They said, "This man receiveth sinners." He mustn't be off God. He receiveth sinners.
Amen.
That's what they, the religious men, thought. Amen. What sort of boy is that? If he knew them people, he wouldn't be talking to them.
Amen.
If he knew her background, he wouldn't be talking to her. Amen. If he knew what that man done, how he robbed people of money for their taxes, he wouldn't talk to them. He says he receiveth sinners. But you know, thank the Lord that he does receive sinners.
Amen.
Because here was a sinner here. But what did this sinner do when he seen Jesus? He ran and he worshipped him.
Amen.
And cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" How did this man know who he was? The devils in him recognized who he was. Them demons knew him. Because you know why? He was the beginning of the creation of God.
Amen.
They knew him. They knew the power. They knew what he'd done. They had probably, maybe had seen the storm. Maybe some of the devils and around there had said, "Be careful, Jesus is on his way." Maybe they were trembling, and when that boat arrived, they were like,
"Amen."
Shaking, and what did they do? They fell down in the worship.
That's right.
Says, "I, thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thy unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Who? The demons. They didn't want to leave. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. Now, what does that tell me? It tells me this was a Gentile area. Why do I say that? The Jews would have nothing to do with a pig. They wouldn't eat a pig. They wouldn't keep a pig. It was an unclean animal. Here was a great herd of swine. You know, it was a... This area was Gentile area. It was also, it was a Jew. It was like an area where different communities had come. And it says this, later on it says about Decapolis. Decapolis wasn't a city. Decapolis was the area made up of about 10 cities. And that was people from all around had come. And I'd say it was majority, there's probably more Gentiles than there was Jews. But here again, say, what am I saying? He came onto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them,
Amen.
He was become the Son of God.
Amen.
So he was a God in his mercy. There was the Jews, but here, this is a type of him to the Gentile. You know, he was with the Jews 2,000 years ago, and when he was crucified, they talk about a Gentile age. We're in a Gentile age now, where grace is to us. It says the casting off of Israel was the bringing in of the Gentiles. We're still in that, and you know it's only by grace that we're still in that.
Amen.
And at some stage, that's going to turn again. He's going to leave us, and he's going to turn to the Jews again. But you know, we'll be gone.
Amen.
We'll be gone at that stage, and you need to believe that you'll be gone.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, God will have come, the rapture will have taken place.
Amen.
And we'll be in heaven.
That's right.
You know, at that marriage supper. But here, he's coming, these pigs. It says, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And then Jesus gave them leave. And it says, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were all, about 2,000, and they were all choked in the sea. And you know what happened? I'll just summarize it. When the men of that city seen it, you know what they were more worried about? They were worried that the pig trade, somebody said, had finished that day. That's what we were worried about. It wasn't that man had been delivered. A man, maybe that the whole town, that whole area, had to maybe avoid that road. Maybe it was quicker to go that way somewhere, but they had to go a different way, because if that boy had met you, it'd wreck you, as they say here. Maybe it'd grabbed them and roughed them up. Maybe they couldn't go that way because of him. And here this man's delivered. It's been a great deliverance to him, and they're worried about the pigs. And you know what they've done? They told Jesus to depart from their coasts. They didn't want to know.
That's right.
God had worked a miracle here. God had worked deliverance. He'd showed deliverance.
Amen.
But you know what? They didn't want to know. Move you on. But what happened then? It says in verse 18, when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed that he might be with him. So this man, what a change, what a turnaround. That dwelt in the tombs. Here's this man now. He was praying the Lord that he could go with him. Maybe he had a family at home. Maybe he'd lost everything. But here, you know what? He wanted to go with Jesus. He knew he had been delivered.
Amen.
He'd been a different man now. He was a new creation.
Amen.
But in verse 19 it says, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home now to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee,
Amen.
And hath had compassion on thee." And here's what this man done. In verse 20, "And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel."
Amen.
This man had a missionary trip.
That's right.
Decapolis, as I said, was about 10 cities made up around this area. So he didn't, if he went to this area, I'm sure this man went round. And he had a missionary trip. And what did he do? He shared the news. He shared
Amen.
The good news. Amen. How Jesus had delivered him and set him free.
Amen.
That's what this man done when he was delivered. What did the R men do? You know what they had said what these R men done that had seen this? They probably started buying pigs again. And they just went back. Maybe they said, "Oh, I've lost a few pigs." They maybe bought a few, sold, and then bought a new. They just continued on as they were. And they didn't recognize. But, you know, some men marveled at what this had done. And I don't want to be too much longer. But I want to read a few verses here. Leave these with you. You know, I've quoted John 3, verse 16. But when I think of a loving Savior, do you ever read 1 John 3, verse 16? And here's what it says. It says,
yeah.
"Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." The Lord Jesus Christ, he was such a loving Savior that he went to the cross for you.
Amen.
He laid down his life for you. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Ephesians 5 and 2. "And we walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour." There's nothing more we can do, because you know what? The sacrifice has been paid.
Amen.
He paid that sacrifice at Calvary's cross.
Amen.
And you know what? It's a sweet smelling savour in the nostrils of the Lord. Galatians 2 and 20. "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Amen.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God,
Hallelujah.
Who loved me and gave himself for
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
All these verses, what are they about? They're about Jesus giving up his own life so that we may have life.
Amen.
John 15, verse 12 to 13. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this,
Amen.
That a man lay down his life for his friends." You know, there's so many things we could say this morning. I could go on and on, but I don't want to keep you too long. But what does Romans chapter 10, verse 9 say? It says, "But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus,
Amen.
And believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved."
Amen.
That's our loving Saviour. What does it do? What are we... What do we have to do to inherit eternal life? Believe on the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Believe him and accept him. Amen.
Amen.
We'll just pray and then I'll hand over to Brother Tommy again.
Amen.
Our Lord, we just thank you this morning for your word. Your word is truth, Lord. Pray that you bless it. Bless your people here this morning.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the work of grace that you've done for our lives. We thank you for the plan of salvation. Where you give your only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, we thank you for that this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you that you hear our prayers and you answer them. Lord, you know every need here this morning, Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray and we believe that you're going to do it. We do what the people need here this morning. And Lord, we pray for your protection at this time. We pray that you put a hedge of fire upon us. When this world and this country is living in fear over a virus, Lord, we pray, we commit it to you and put it in your hands. We pray that you keep us safe and bless us.
Yes.
And Lord, we're trusting in you. For it's in and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Prayer, Tommy.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand our feet, praise God. The Lord bless Brother Mark, and I really
Amen.
Believe. I really believe our brother was inspired this morning
Amen.
With really a word from the Lord. Amen. The word in season, the word to take on board. To believe it. Let's believe it. It's for somebody. It's for all
Amen.
Of us. That Jesus calms the storms, doesn't he?
Thank you, Jesus.
And he wasn't far away. He was in the boat with them. In the boat with them, praise God. And as soon as he spoke the words, praise God. He told us, God bless you, Brother Mark. We really enjoyed it. Next Sunday morning, Brother Ian will be preaching. And Mark really was a blessing, Brother. Praise God.
Amen.
Brother Gary's going to come. Don't forget, 4:30 next service. Come along. I know it's easy to sit at home because it's online. But if you're able to come, come. There's people online that maybe can't come. That's good enough. But those that can come, come along. Support the meeting. See, the whole strategic plan today is the opposite of the Bible. The Bible says gather often.
Amen.
But the government's saying they don't want you gathering at all. I had to go into a pub the other day, two days ago, to see a certain man in a pub in Bond Bridge. I had to go in to see this man. And I can tell you there was no social distancing in the pub. And there wasn't one mask on in that pub. They were drinking away and the man joked himself. He made a joke. And he said, you can't meet in your own house, but you can come here to the pub and meet.
That's right.
And he made a joke of it. So we should be bold for God.
Amen.
I'm not saying keep safe. Keep as safe as you can. Distance and do all these things. But let's not put God second.
Amen.
And at the end of the day, who's our protection?
Amen.
The Lord. Yeah. And the Lord is our protection. The Lord's our protection. We do what we can, or with all whatever plans we have to abide by, we're doing that. But it ultimates the Lord. The Lord bless you. Brother Guy's going to come and sing as we go on. God bless. 4:30, don't forget this evening. God bless you.
Amen.
Let us sing that hymn, upon thy spanless oceans, where mighty billows roll, and fix my hope in Jesus, lest I have not this.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks this morning for the words that we have heard, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, this morning they'll bless the one that brought the word this morning.
Yes.
Lord, continue, Lord, to inspire them, Lord.
Yes.
Continue to keep your hand of mercy and grace upon them. Watch over his whole family, Lord,
Amen.
I pray in Jesus Christ's
name.
Lord, we thank you this morning that when all storms arise, Lord, that we have no need to fear, Lord.
Amen.
Because, Lord, we realize this morning that you're in control, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, that even, Lord, anyone that's around us, Lord, like the little ships, Lord, oh, Lord,
yes,
God,
Lord, amen.
Lord, all amen. Safe, Lord, and secure in your
Lord.
Hand, Lord. When we plead the precious blood of Jesus, Lord, we plead that blood this morning. We plead it upon each and every family member, Lord. We say, Lord God, send out your hand of mercy and grace, Lord, and gather
amen.
Them in, Lord,
that's
under your
right.
wing this morning.
Glory.
Bring them in under your security,
amen.
Lord, this
mercy.
Morning. We plead the blood
thank
of Jesus,
Jesus,
Lord, and we curse every disease this morning
amen.
In the name of Jesus. We curse every virus
right.
in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray
you'll
give health strength, Lord.
You,
Lord, I pray where there's sickness that there would be health
amen.
Coming to the body
amen.
In Jesus Christ's name.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you this morning that you're a great God.
Thank
you're a good
Jesus.
God, and beside you there's no one.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we pray this morning that you'll keep your hand upon us, Lord. Lead us and guide us in the days that lie ahead. Lord, I pray that you'll inspire us all, Lord, to say something
you,
that will encourage someone.
Amen.
Inspire us, Lord, to speak words of life.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that you'll help faith arise in us.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Let us cast down unbelief
yes,
in
Lord.
Jesus Christ's name. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll take us to our homes in safety.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, we ask it. For your glory and honor, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Lord bless you and see you again on top past 4. Lord, well, as we leave, we'll just sing that little chorus that I did my soul in the haven of heaven.
Amen.
Lord bless you. I thank the Lord.